Matthew 5, 1 through 5. And seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then Jesus opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. My topic this morning is meek, but not weak. Meek, but not weak. You may be seated. Meek, but not weak. Dear Lord, I pray that indeed the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in thy sight. Dear God, I know that the seed is good. Your word is good. So I pray even right now, dear God, that it will fall on good soil, fertile soil, dear God, that it indeed would produce much fruit. So speak now, dear God, for your people are listening to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Meek, but not weak. Meek, M-E-E-K, but not weak. Previously, I had preached on the first two Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. In light of review, the word blessed means happy or happiness. And that's a deep type of happiness, not some surface level happiness, really kind of close to being joy. So blessed or happy or joyful are those who are pure in spirit. Poor in spirit means those who are humble. So being humble leads to true and lasting happiness. Being humble leads to true and lasting joy. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn. As we learned a couple of weeks ago, that mourning means mourning over sin, having a type of repentance or brokenness over sin. So blessed or happy or joyful are those who mourn over sin, because it leads to true happiness. Well, this morning we're going to look at verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, some people erroneously confuse meekness with weakness. So this morning, as we go through this sermon, I'm going to use the word meek and meekness kind of interchangeably. Let me give you a workable definition for meek or meekness. Another synonym for it is really gentle or gentleness. So meek or meekness simply means, listen, power under control. Power under control. That's what meek or meekness means. That's what gentle or gentleness means. Power under control. It means, as I said earlier, being gentle. It means being humble. It means being secondarily afflicted or even oppressed. So being meek means power under control. It means being gentle. It means being humble. It means being afflicted and oppressed. An example of meekness, a great example of meekness, is a horse who has been broken. A horse who is wild and just crazy acting, but it's been broken now. So it still has the same strength, but now their power is bridled. Its power is under control. So a horse is a good example of being meek. Still same strength, but now it's under control. I saw my dad once. My dad raised Tennessee walking horses. And, you know, a horse weighs, what, 14, 15, 1600 pounds. I should never forget this. This is fixated in my mind. I was about 6 or 7 years old, talking about meekness and how power under control. My daddy had this horse, and he was a crazy horse. Mother Lawson, nobody could really ride him. He just used to act a fool all the time. And I guess my daddy got tired of him acting a fool. So one day I saw my dad do this. He got that horse, tied that horse up to a tree, grabbed that horse by the bridle, took a whip in his hand. It would probably be animal cruelty today. Took a whip in his hand and literally beat that horse down. I learned two things from that example. Number one, that horse was docile after that. That horse was meek after that. And I learned I don't ever want my dad to whip me. Now, my mama would tear you up, but if you really did something bad, she sent you to my daddy. And guess what? My daddy never had to whip me. I didn't cross that line. But a horse being broken is an example of being meek. Power under control. Meek doesn't mean being weak. Two great examples of biblical examples of people who were meek. One from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. Moses from the Old Testament. Moses was meek. Numbers 12, verse 3. You might want to write that down and read it later. Numbers 12 and 3. Moses described as being humble and meek. Here it is, Moses, who led one of the biggest exodus ever, led millions of people out of Egypt. But yet the Bible called him a humble, Sister Francis, and a meek man. An even better example in the New Testament, Paul was a meek brother. But an even better example is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was known as being meek. And we know he wasn't weak. Listen to what Matthew 11:29, how it describes Jesus. He describes himself as being gentle, meek, lowly, and humble. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, I am meek, and lowly in heart. So Jesus was meek. Jesus also was a man of humility. Philippians 2, this classic passage, reminds us Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Now, since Jesus was meek, and since Jesus was gentle and humble, you and I ought to seek to model those characteristics. Can I get an amen? If Jesus was humble and meek, you and I should try to model those attributes, those characteristics. We should be praying, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, help me to be more meek. Meek, once again, that's power under control. Power under control. Not weak, but meek. Verse 5 again, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So who are the meek? Who are these people called meek? I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked. If you're taking notes, the meek people are, they are the ones who patiently wait on the Lord. The meek people are known as those who patiently wait on the Lord. They patiently wait on the Lord. The meek. We wait on the Lord. Psalms 37:9. Says, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. So Psalms 39 says, those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. So when people do evil things to you, beloved, pray for them. The Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. You and I must leave room for the wrath of God. So a trait of being meek is you allow God to fight your battles. Let me say that again. A trait of being a meek person, you allow God to fight your battles. You wait on the Lord. Listen to the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ later on in this chapter, Matthew 5 and verse 44. Listen to the words of our Lord and Savior. Jesus says, but I say to you, love fellowship, I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Now, this is Jesus talking. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Wow, that's a mouthful. You mean, Jesus, I'm supposed to hate those I'm supposed to love those who hate me? I'm supposed to love my enemies? I'm supposed to do good to those who hate me? Jesus, you're saying we're supposed to pray for those who would use us and persecute us? Jesus says, yes. You know, we as Christians, we're otherworldly. We don't act as the world acts. Well, let me put an asterisk by that. We don't supposed to act like the world acts. We're supposed to act differently. We are a different people. We are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. We are a peculiar people. We are different from the world. So Jesus said, love your enemies. He said, bless those who curse you. He said, do good to those who hate you. He said, pray for those who would use you and persecute you. That sounds like meekness to me. That sounds like power under control. Psalms 37:11 says the meek shall inherit the earth. The Bible talks about how the last shall be first and the first shall be last. So sometimes as Christians, sometimes being a meek person, sometimes you might get pushed to the back of the line a little bit. But meek, once again, still doesn't mean being weak. So who are the meek? Well, they are the ones who don't go off at the first opportunity. They're not the ones who just go off and say anything or think anything on the first opportunity. They can turn the other cheek as Jesus teaches us to do. Again, who are the meek? They are patient. They are the patient ones. They are the patient ones. Another characteristic of meekness is Psalms 37:29 rather says, the righteous shall inherit the earth and dwell in it forever. So the meek are not only the ones who are patient, the meek, according to Psalms 37, the righteous are the ones who shall inherit the earth. So the meek are not only the patient ones, they are also the righteous ones. The meek people are those who are patient. The meek people are those who are righteous. The meek people are patient and righteous. Another thing about a meek person will be exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. A meek person will be exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit out of Galatians 5. A meek person will be exhibiting love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or meekness, and self-control. So the meek people are not only the patient ones. A meek person is not only the righteous ones. Also, a meek person are the fruit-bearing ones. So who are the meek? Once again, they are patient, they're righteous, they're also fruit bearers. Those are the meek people, those who will inherit the earth. Now, of course, once again, Jesus wasn't weak. On two separate occasions, he ran the money changers up out of the temple. The Bible says he fashioned a whip, turned over tables, and ran them up out of there. That doesn't sound like a meek person to me. That sounds like power under control. So Jesus is our perfect example of saying how we should be a meek person here on earth. Let me give you a few tips on what meekness looks like in action, what meekness looks like in action. Since we know who the meek are, they are the righteous ones, they are the patient ones, they are the fruit-bearing ones. Here is some characteristics of the meek person, meekness in action. If you're taking notes, you might want to write this down. Meekness means that you are teachable. Meekness means you are teachable. You don't know everything. Let me say that again. You don't know everything. Meekness means you are teachable. A meek person has a teachable spirit. Meek people don't pretend to know it all. You ever run into somebody like that? Just think they know something about everything. Some people are like that. They just think they know something about everything. But a meek person, they look for opportunity to continually learn. The meek person looks for opportunity to continue to learn. Faithful Christians consistently look for opportunity to learn more about Jesus. A meek person wants to learn more about their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what a meek person wants to do. They're a teachable person. Listen to what Jesus says again in Matthew 11:29. Listen to the words of our Lord and Savior. He said, take up my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me as I teach you. Learn of me because I am meek and humble of heart. So a meek person is a teachable person, Brother Joel. A meek person is a teachable person. Also, a meek person is gentle, not judgmental. A meek person is gentle, not judgmental. A meek person is gentle, not judgmental. Romans 14:1. As it talks about a meek person being gentle and not judgmental, Romans 14:1 says, now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. Galatians 6:1, many of us probably are familiar with this one. Brothers, if someone is caught in any sin, any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual should restore such a one with a meek spirit, with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so you won't be tempted also. So when a brother or sister is in sin, we should not get out the rocks to stone them. We should try to go and help them to get out of that sin. Matter of fact, you know, when they brought the lady who was caught in the very act of adultery, they brought her to Jesus to see what Jesus would do. And they all had rocks in their hands. And Jesus said, you who are without sin, cast the first stone. Of course, they all dropped their stones and went away. And Jesus said, listen to what he said, though. He said, your sins are forgiven. He said, go and sin no more. He didn't say, go and keep doing what you've been doing. He said, so your sins are forgiven, but go and sin no more. That's a meek person. We look to be gentle and not judgmental. Here in the Christian faith, we're so quick to pass judgment. How do you react? Do a self-test. How do you react when someone you know, or maybe someone you don't know, when they mess up? I mean, they blow it. They get caught up in some kind of sinful scandal. How do you act? Do you say stuff like, I told you? That's what they get. I could see that coming. I knew they was going to blow it. That's not the right type of attitude, brothers and sisters. That's not the attitude of meekness. You should pray for them. No, we don't condone the sin, but we should pray for them. We should grieve over the sin in their life and seek to restore them. That's what Matthew 18, when you got naught against a brother, it said, go to that brother, try to get it right. But if not, take a couple of leaders from the church with you, try to get it right. If not, maybe eventually bring that person before the church. You do that over a period of time. And the reason is not to try to excommunicate somebody from the church, but the reason is to try to get them to repent. Get them to see their sinful way and say, yeah, you're right, brother or sister, you're right. I should not be doing that or saying that or whatever. So the whole process is to get someone to repent. So a meek person is gentle and not judgmental. Another way meekness is carried out is meekness is not reacting wrongly when you are wrong. Meekness is not reacting wrongly when you are wrong. Meekness is not reacting wrongly when you are wrong. Listen to what Romans 12, 17 and 21 tells us. I want to write that down and read it later. Romans 12, 17 and 21 says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Not an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. Don't do that, Romans says. But conquer evil with good. Let me read all that to you. Romans 12, 17 through 21. It's going to sound just like the words of Jesus we read earlier when Jesus says, you know, pray for those who are going to try to harm you or would do you evil towards you. Listen to what Romans says. Never, somebody say never. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Listen, never take your own revenge. Somebody say never again. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So you trying to get in and do whatever, you get in the way of the Lord. The Lord said, I'll take care of it. This is what he says, verse 20. He said, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. Now that's counterculture. We don't think like that naturally, but God says, if your enemy is hungry, give him some bread to eat. If he's thirsty, Brother Green, give him something to drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Listen carefully to verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, it's part of the whole mantra or message of Dr. Martin Luther King. I know we just a few days ago talked about his 50th year of him getting assassinated. That was one of his big things. He said, let's fight this evil by good. Let's show love toward others, even though they are coming against us. Now that was a powerful statement. That's one of the things that made that movement so strong. They didn't necessarily go an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. So that's what the Lord tells us to do. Do not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. So meekness, once again, is not reacting wrongly when you are legitimately wronged. See, in this life, you will be wrong. This thing's still on. In this life, you will be wrong. You will get hurt. Inside the church. I'm not just talking about folks out there. Inside the church, I'm like, you will be wrong. You will get hurt. But how do you respond to those hurts? What is your normal reaction when people hurt you? Is it retaliation? I'm going to get them back. They got me. I'm going to get them. I'm going to stab them in the back. Or do you love the person? Forgive them. Treat them with kindness. If somebody does you wrong and you got an attitude with them, one of the best ways to work through that is to begin to pray for them. I promise you, if you begin to pray for them, but for too long, next thing you know, your heart will begin to soften. So, man, I really don't like her or him, what they did to me, but I'm praying for them. Next thing I know, your heart will be drawn to them. So as a Christian, we need to be meek. Again, it's a matter of choice. It's power under control, not weakness, but meekness. Whatever happens, you and I, we can respond with patience. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 13 says. 1 Corinthians 13, known as the love chapter. Love is patient. And these are some great characteristics of meekness as well. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Is not boastful. Is not arrogant. Is not conceited. Does not act improperly. Is not selfish. Is not provoked. True love. Does not keep a record of wrongs. In other words, he did me wrong, she did me wrong. I'm writing that down. I'm going to remember that. No, love does not keep a record of wrongs. Finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. True love rejoices in the truth. And these are characteristics, again, of a person who's meek. So meekness is not reacting wrongly when you are wronged. Another thing about meekness. Meekness is understanding, not demanding. Meekness is understanding, not demanding. It's being understanding and not so demanding. Listen to what Philippians 2, 3 through 5 says. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude or have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let me read that again. The word of God says, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility or lowness of mind, meekness, if you will, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? When our girls were growing up, we used to often tell them about that verse. I don't know if it sunk in or not. We often tell them about that verse. Look out for the interests of your sister. Don't just look out for what's about yourself. Also in verse 5, it says, this attitude, this mind is what Christ had. Once again, Jesus is our perfect example of being meek. He's our perfect example of being humble. God, all man, yet he was meek and humble. Put the other person first. See, most of us, let's be honest, most of us like to be first. We drive, we want to be the first in traffic, first to get through the traffic light. We go into a store, we want to be first in line. We eat around the dinner table, we want to be the first one served. First. Me. That's kind of how we're born. Babies come here being selfish. That's my ball, that's my rattle, that's my, we're self-absorbed. Period, but even more so during this day and time. Many of us who have kids, the millennials in this group, they really have grown up and part of it is our fault as parents. Many of them have grown up with this sense of entitlement. Like, I deserve that. That's what I deserve. No, you don't. Not necessarily. That's part of us being me, myself, and I. So the meek person seeks to put others before themselves. Now our flesh, I agree, our flesh fights against this. So the key to victory is to walk by the Spirit. You got to say, Lord, help me not to be so self-centered. Help me not to be so selfish. Help me to think about others before myself. Let the Spirit guide and control your emotions. So, beloved, are you understanding or are you demanding? Meekness, the person who is meek is understanding. It's understanding. So don't be obsessed with getting your own way. But put yourself aside and put others first. Now, y'all looking at me real strange this morning. Again, it's not easy, but it's doable. It's doable to be meek, to put other people first, to put others first. That's what Christ did. He came to put others first. He came to put us first. So once again, he's our Lord and Savior. He's our leader. He's our commander, right? We should emulate him. We should seek to follow him. We should seek to do what he does. Say, Lord, help me to live like you lived. Meekness, and this is my last one. Meekness is becoming tender without surrender. Meekness is becoming tender without surrender. It's becoming tender without surrender. A good test of spiritual maturity, listen to me well. A good test of spiritual maturity is how you handle disagreeable people. It's how you handle disagreeable people. Some people just can't, it's just hard to get to agree with them. So to be meek is how do we handle those type of people? Hear me well. Meekness is not compromising your convictions so you can be tender without surrender. So it's not necessarily compromising what you believe. You can still be meek and disagree with someone. Meekness, as a matter of fact, meekness is learning. Listen, meekness is learning to disagree agreeably. Let me say that again. Rewind. Let me say that again. Meekness is learning to disagree agreeably. That makes sense? You're not going to agree with everybody all the time. See, that's not what meek means. It doesn't always let people run over you or you be a floor mat. That's not what meekness means. It means it's power under control. It means you can be tender without surrender. Because you're not going to agree with everybody. You're not going to agree with everybody. Let's be honest. Sometimes we don't even agree with our own self. You're not going to agree with everybody. But you can disagree in a Christ-like way. You can disagree in a Christ-like way. I was reading an article just last night. It was detailing Charles Stanley and Andy Stanley, how, you know, Andy Stanley grew up, of course, as his dad, and he grew up in the ministry, and then they had some friction, and he moved and started his own church, but then they reconciled. But he was talking about how he saw his dad in a church meeting back at First Baptist of Atlanta when Charles Stanley, I guess he was an interim pastor, I guess, and he was trying to be the pastor, and many of the church leaders didn't want him to be the pastor. And Andy Stanley said he saw in a church business meeting where this deacon literally hit Charles Stanley. But he said Charles Stanley just kind of stood there and took it and didn't retaliate. I was like, man, that's really meek right there. That's really meek. He said he literally saw his dad get struck in a business meeting. But of course, eventually, the Lord worked it out and Charles Stanley became the Church of First Baptist. He's 85 years old and still pastoring down there. Still pastoring. So meekness is power under control. And I say Charles Stanley took the meek approach in that situation. So again, meekness is becoming tender without surrender. Meekness means that you are teachable. Quick review, recap. Meekness is being gentle, not judgmental. Meekness is not reacting wrongly when you are wrong, when you are legitimately wrong. Meekness is understanding, not demanding. And again, meekness is becoming tender without surrender. Here it is, saints. Meekness is being just like Jesus. Meekness is emulating our Lord and Savior. He was wrong when they arrested him. We celebrated it last week. He was wrong when they had those bogus trials. He was wrong when they hung him on Calvary's cross. But what did he say? Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't say, Father, get them. No, he said, Father, forgive them. That's an example of meekness. That's an example of power under control. Now, Christ himself could have got him himself. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Brother and sister Rucker, that's an example of meekness. Christ is an example of meekness. That's a perfect example of not reacting wrongly when he was legitimately wronged. Jesus is the perfect example. So meek, but not weak. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Again, who are the meek? Who are the meek? They are the patient ones. They are the righteous ones. They are the fruit-bearing ones. If you're meek, we stand out. Again, we're different from the culture. We're different from everybody else. So blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I'm almost through. What does inheriting the earth mean? What does inheriting the earth mean? I'm glad you asked. Somebody asked me that. What does inheriting the earth mean? Thank you. I'm glad you asked. It's somewhat synonymous. We're not just inheriting the earth, but also reigning with the Lord in heaven. Matter of fact, the apostle John the Revelator, the one who the Holy Spirit led him to write the Gospel of John, the one who the Holy Spirit led him to write 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the one who the Holy Spirit led him to write the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, John sees a number. And these are some meek people. He sees a number, he said, that no one can count. He says a number comprised of people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every race. It's a number, once again, comprised of meek people. The Bible says that the last shall be first and the first shall be last. So those who will inherit the earth, the meek people who will inherit the earth, listen, we're going to get to reign with the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. Oh, y'all must not have heard that. I say as a meek person, as a follower of Christ, we're going to get to reign with him forever and ever on earth and in heaven. The Bible says clearly that those of us who follow him, those of us who are meek, if you will inherit the earth. We'll get to reign with our Lord and Savior forever and ever. Those of us who have emulated the life of Christ in this area of meekness, they will inherit the earth and rule with the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the meek, we get to worship and serve God, serve Jesus forever and ever. So blessed are the meek, for theirs is, they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the gentle. Happy, joyous are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Who are the meek? Once again, they are the patient ones. They are the righteous ones. They are the fruit-bearing ones. So, beloved, you want to make sure that you have that characteristic, that trait called meekness. You want to make sure that that's in your DNA. You want to make sure that you are a person who is meek, because that is a trait that God calls us to have, meekness. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, dear God, for your goodness, for your grace, for your mercy.